We're joining you live around the world, WWRB 3.185. We'll be right back when Brother Blake brings us in.
Perseverance.
concerned tonight about salvation. Satan's got so many ways that he can deceive the very elect that the murder and the envy and the strife that he brings into our spiritual being. I'm not talking about the things of the world that are harmonious. All things work to the good of them and love Yahweh. But in doing so, you've got to endure the tribulation, the persecution, and the onslaught of Satan as he hurls accusations against you. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to turn around. He's trying to say it's useless. He's trying to paint a dim picture of today and say, well, you know, you've been preaching this a long time and Yahweh's not come yet. Why are you getting so excited about these things? And what makes you think that he's going to come anytime soon? You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's a funny thing. The Bible said, and the Messiah, Matthew chapter 4, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he had fasted, he became hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, it's all right. Go ahead. Turn those stones to bread and go ahead and eat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Satan can win you over if you have what is called a lack of self-control. You need to learn, first of all, to have control of your life at all times. I know that's a very hard saying. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. You can get angry. Sometimes the devil will torment you, and he will come against you like he did Job. But in the spiritual warfare, now the physical warfare, the Bible says the things that Yahweh has given you in the spirit is why that the messengers of Satan come against you to torment you, to keep you from exalting yourself. Because through the abundance of revelations, you see, when Yahweh fills your mind with the good things, and you have all these good things to say, and all these things that you think about, a lot of people just lay on their bed and contemplate telling the devil where to go to. Then when they get out in public to put it to action, they can't say a word. They're terrified. They can't speak in public. They can't stand in the time of these temptations when Satan says, all right, now you're on, you're up. All right, let's see what you got. And bless God, you find yourself shaking in the knees, shaking on the bone. What could you say when you're responsible for turning someone else's life around? Remember this. Through the valley, through the temptations, through the burdens and the trials and the temptations, you must be proven yourself in the valley before you can go to the mountain and shout glory. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a foregone conclusion that the Bible says that a man should not think highly more of himself than he ought to. Take the Messiah, for instance. Although he could raise the dead, although he could cast out devils, although he could heal the sick, and although he could do many miracles by multiplying the bread and feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes, a complete meal. I don't know who had the drinks, but somebody brought them along. But it wasn't out of Yahweh's will and favor to perform these miracles when he turned the water to wine. Now, symbolizing, the Bible said, if you believe on me as the scriptures have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you really believe tonight that there is a Satan? Has he attacked you? Are you afraid of him? Are you in the valley? so many temptations. Just start with, say, food. Would you ever think that food would be a temptation? Well, how about if you walked into a nice restaurant and they were serving bacon and eggs and French toast and all those delightful things that the flesh man could long for? Well, you say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor Buddy? That sounds like a good meal. Well, in the Bible, it's written by Yahweh himself for us to abstain from fleshy lust, which war against the members of our being. The Bible says to avoid the meats that Yahweh has deemed unclean. You say, oh, well, we've got the mystery solved here, Pastor Buddy. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we have where it's recorded that God cleaned everything up and there's nothing unclean anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a misunderstanding of the people who have believed foolishly that pork and all other unclean foods mentioned in the Bible, shellfish, crawfish, down in Louisiana, I hear that's a delight. People used to love to eat crawfish. Then they came to the Bible revelation. I know I was raised on a farm on pork, and pork was a staple diet here in East Tennessee where I was raised as a young boy on the farm. We killed 7 or 8 hogs, swine, pork, every year, and we put it in the smokehouse. And we let the meat cure down a little bit. We would call it, it's curing in the smokehouse. And my dad had an uncanny ability to know when the meat was ready to receive the salt, and that would preserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need as much salt in the spiritual realm to preserve our souls against the wiles of the devil, to avoid the temptations of the world, than we do the salt that would preserve the pork to make it edible long. It seems like at country hams, the longer they cure, the better they get. I know that some folks in the days when I was growing up prided themselves in having a rub, a special rub, to put upon the hams that they put into the smokehouse and hung them on a string or a wire. And these things would get moldy. The aged moldy, and the more moldy they got, the better the hams was, and the more they would bring. People would flock from the cities up into the country places where the hams were for sale, and they buy these hams, and they take them home, and they slice them, and they make red-eye gravy. Boy, that's good. And they would make these delicacies out of the pork. They would even eat the brains out of the hog. They would pickle the feet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you the truth. When you are given to appetite, put a knife to your throat, especially if you are given to eat unclean things that Yahweh has deemed unclean. You say, well, let me ask you a question, Pastor Bunny. If they're unclean, why did God make it so good? You know, that's one of the questions that I pondered in my heart when I was trying to give up unclean meat. And I come to the realization that Yahweh had made these scavengers for a purpose, to clean up the aftermath of nature, things that die of themselves. A hog will eat anything, including human, dead or alive. It doesn't matter. They will go into the woods and they'll eat animals that have died and decayed. They seem to relish, and they have a special gland between their hooves and the fork. And all the poison that is extracted from the dead animal or the fecal matter that they eat, it is extracted in a pulse-like pulse that extracts between and a certain gland that runs down in the front feet of the animal. We say, well, what's wrong with skunk? Polecat, we call them down here in Tennessee. get unclean. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never seen anybody eat a tiger or a lion, but I'm sure that some people around the earth consider them probably delicacies. But see, the acts of the devil is to make you believe that whatever that Yahweh deemed unclean, it is now clean in the eyes of the beholder. The Bible said, when you bow and you give thanks, if it's offered to idols, and if it's unclean or sold in the shambles in the marketplaces where it ought not to be, and I'll assure you, even by eating meat, when you go to the market, and when you go into the meat section of the market, you should avoid these places at all costs, and I'm going to tell you why. Simply because that man, in his attempt to preserve the meat, like we used to preserve the hams with salt, what they would do, they will inject a fluid, almost the same thing as embalming fluid. This preserves the meat, fresh meat, setting out up on the counter, keeps it bright red. They spray an ingredient that will turn it nice and red and pink instead of being brown. You see, meat that sits on the counter took a couple of days at least will turn brown by its natural process. But when they fix it with the fluids and embalm it, basically, and let me tell you again, the beef and the things that are clean, they do the same thing. They inject hormones and things of this nature to make the meat more gain weight. And chicken, and everybody says, well, I'll go to chicken, and that's a better choice. Chicken is one of the most it's one of the most filthiest animals that ever walked upon the earth. It's basically almost as a scavenger, although it's deemed clean. However, it will eat anything, almost, that don't eat it. And what they do to these chickens is that they have them raised where they never touch the ground. And when they go to clean these chickens in the packing houses, they will hang the chickens up on a hook, meat hook, and they'll rip the center of the breast right down the middle, and the guts will run and down into the carcass of the chicken. And then they'll drop these chickens off in water vats and leave these chickens in there for hours as they pretend to wash them. That's not the whole purpose of soaking the chicken, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose is that it gains more weight. And the feces that runs out of its guts, cattle and animals, they do the same thing. And so the FDA here in America, who pretends to check the meat and make sure that it's USDA approved, if you was to go to a packing house and stay there for 3 hours, you'd be sick at your stomach with the stench and the acts and the looks of these dead animals, how they kill them in fright and makes them freeze the blood in their body into their muscles, where it makes the meat more juicy and tasty. And so then, when the chickens come out of the water vat, the cleansing, they are soaked with this water, and they weigh more, and so then, the producers of this meat get more money. See the tricks and the acts of Satan? He come to kill and steal and destroy. Have you ever read the book of Leviticus? How Yahweh told you about the clean and the unclean laws and the foods? How he told you to get rid of human waste, animal waste, and things of this nature? You know why he said that? He said, because I walk among you. Dig your latrine. When you go to use the restroom, he said, dig your latrine. And there, empty your innards, your natural process of elimination of things that you've eaten. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh taught us the laws of cleanliness. Satan come along and said, anything's clean. You can eat anything you want, glory to God. So Satan is a liar. And so now, we've got such a sick illness, many people are weak and sick and practicing a pharmacia at the suggestions of the doctor. When you go, they're going to put you on three or four different things, and each one of these things conflict the other. And so, again, the acts of the Satan is to kill you, to steal you, and destroy you. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that the mission of Satan is to make you sick. He don't want you well. He wants you to curse Yahweh and die. He tried it on Job. Has he tried it on you lately? Are you sick? Are you weak? Are you depressed? It could be, ladies and gentlemen, because that you have filled your body through toxic waste that Yahweh has deemed unclean. Check yourself out in the Bible. Try to use the wisdom of Yahweh. He told us in the book of Leviticus again how to eat, where to eat, when to eat, and what to eat. So Yahweh is a director, a guide. The Bible said His Word is a lamp to your feet and a guide to your soul, that you may prosper and live a long life and be in good health while you live here upon the earth. We have sins caused by disobedience to the laws of Yahweh. When we get sick, it's a disobedience in some part of our life. I was telling the brother here the other day, he and I were talking about this very thing, and I told him about past life karma. And, of course, I know that most of you all don't believe that you've lived before, and so you couldn't have any sins. But the Bible said, be sure that your sins find you out. And also, be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So watch. If there's sickness in your body, try to pray and ask Yahweh to forgive you. The Bible said there's a sickness unto death that I say that you pray not for. This is something that is going to take you out. Even Paul, the great apostle, even in his day, he left his brothers sick and had to go on his journey without them. Now, you say, well, why didn't he heal them? He healed other people. There was a man asleep that went to sleep on Paul's message, and he fell out the window and broke his neck. And Paul went down after the service and laid his hands upon him and healed him, and he rose up and he lived and survived the great fall where he broke his neck. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul, in doing this act, had to leave his brothers, his own brothers and sisters who were ministering with him when they fell sick by the wayside. He had to leave them for a reason. Now, in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, we have Aquila and Priscilla. The Bible said these were believers that were mighty in the scriptures, and they taught and preached only knowing the baptism of John. You see, Satan is trying to convince you right now that your baptism is good and you don't have to be rebaptized. You say, well, what do you mean by being rebaptized, Pastor Buddy? Because water don't have nothing to do with saving you anyway. Did you know that Satan has convinced at least 90% of the professing Christians that you don't have to be baptized in water to be saved? Well, let me give you a scripture here. Let me give you a system that Yahweh himself, when he was here in a flesh body, listen what he done. The Bible said in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, as was his custom, he went and entered into the church, and he opened the Bible, and he read from the Bible. And where he read was in the book of Isaiah. And he quoted a prophecy, and he said, today, right today, Luke 4:16, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. Ladies and gentlemen, right today, there is prophetic utterances and prophecies that are being fulfilled right had to do to be saved. And the Messiah sort of chiding him a little bit and said, are you a ruler of the Jews and don't know these things? Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. You said, well, was that water in the womb? You was born of the water when your mother bared you. Well, my question is this. The Messiah, who was born of Mary, and she had the same physical attributes of any woman, she carried the Messiah protected by a sack of water in her womb. And then we know that the Messiah, when he was 30 years of age, was baptized and taken into the wilderness and tempted. Now, why was he baptized if water didn't have anything to do with it? The Bible said he went into the Jordan. He didn't go into the womb. He wasn't rebaptized. He went right into the Jordan. He set an example. And when he rose up from the dead, the first thing he done in Matthew chapter 28:19, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. The acts of Satan is, well, it don't matter. Just go out there and do it like he said. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, Satan is so crafty, so subtle, and that seems right. There is a way in the earth that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. From such a turn away. You must be born from above, not again, from above. You were with him from the foundation of the world. His sheep know his voice, and they will follow him. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh. None other name given, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a Greek name in the Bible that we've been given that is accurate or honest, because Satan, the great deceiver, the subtle one, who is coming to the world to deceive the very elect if possible, he has laid a key and a code of belief, of a lie, down that it's okay to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, the great whore church that is mentioned in the book of Revelations, chapter 17, practices this formula of deception. Remember, the acts of Satan is our message tonight, and Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. From such turn away, the Bible said. Now, how were you baptized, ladies and gentlemen? Were you baptized in a title? A Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost? He didn't say to be baptized saying Father, saying Son, or saying Holy Ghost. He wanted you to get the revelation and a spiritual application to your life and put into practice the great mystery. I will reveal them to them by name, John 17:6, manifest. I will make known unto them my name. My name is not Father. My name is not Son. My name is not Holy Ghost. My name is not Word. My name is not Jesus. My name is Yahweh from the foundation of the world, 600 times plus in the Old Testament alone. The name Yahweh was a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. And turn away from all these babbling, vain, jangling, weak-kneed, pigeon-toed preachers that will lie to you and deceive you and lead you into the acts of Satan. Turn into the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 19, it came to pass on when Apollos, the same one I mentioned in the 18th chapter, it came to pass that when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples, and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe, the Ruach? And they said, we've not so much as heard whether they be any name of Yahweh whom he preached. It is undeniable that Paul was fighting against Yahweh. In the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, Paul being chosen out of season, nobody can deny that he was chosen if you believe the New Testament. Now, if you don't believe the New Testament, you don't believe the New Covenant. You don't believe that the Melchizedek priesthood revealed only by the Apostle Paul. You don't believe in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't believe that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to deny the works of the Mighty One, the Apostle Paul. So many revelations that were given to Paul that was not given even to the 11 apostles before him. There was only 11 apostles. One of those was the devil that made the 12. He was excluded. Then the one that took his place, which represented the 12th circle, and there's 13 tribes, ladies and gentlemen, they had to be an apostle to the 13th tribe. This is the new covenant people that we're preaching here tonight, and the Apostle Paul, being an honorable man and willing to suffer, not only willing to suffer, but he said, I am ready to die. And he withstood the temptations of Satan. Saul, Saul, why are you preaching and killing these people that call upon my name? And he being taught in the ways of the Pharisees, who excluded the name of Yahweh from all public utterance, he was only practicing what he'd been taught. You did that. I did that. And Paul did that. It didn't make you evil because you were deceived. It didn't make me evil because I was deceived. It didn't make Paul evil because he was deceived. Because the Bible said that Satan would deceive the very elect. But again, let me show you something. I will send them a strong delusion. There's a lot of delusionary people that are preaching that Paul was a false prophet. And ladies and gentlemen, these are the wicked concision that only want to preach the circumcision of the flesh, not knowing the art of the internal work of the Holy Ghost, which would free you from the works of the flesh, because prophet of circumcision profits nothing. To them who are exercising the covenant of the law in the flesh, because no one could keep the law holy, there had to be a new covenant, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, you say, well, Peter was my apostle, and Paul was a false apostle. Well, Peter accepted Paul in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. This mighty one that they call the false prophet went in among the other 12 apostles. Now remember that even the shadow of Peter could heal the sick laying in the streets. Paul stood against him and told him that he was preaching a concisional doctrine of the Pharisees, and he should repent from it, because if saving was under the law, then the one that Paul was preaching, he declared unto them, then he died in vain. But if his blood is counted as an unholy thing, and you all want to preach the law and circumcise, and that was the question in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, when they came down certain of the concision. These are those who pride themselves that they're holy in the flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the deceiving power of the acts of Satan. I'm warning you tonight, turn from your wicked ways. The Bible says, after much separation, after much House official. Our job is to preach to the immediate people in our country. Your job, we now believe, is to go across the ocean or the waters into Europe and into Asia Minor and into these foreign countries where the lost sheep of the House of Israel. Paul brought the gospel to them. He brought the salvational ring of the truth of the gospel. And for someone to stand up and say he was a false prophet, or someone that would accuse him of being unrighteous, is not only worthy of the damnation that they will receive unless they repent and turn quickly from their evil ways. Yahweh will separate them at that day because they have spoken a word against Yahweh's anointed. The Bible said, touch not my anointed. Peter said himself that many of these concision believers who go back under the law and desire to be under the law, falling from grace repeatedly, denying the new covenant revelation that Paul brought into manifestation to avoid the works of Satan, who is deceiving them when he said that they don't need a Messiah, a Savior, to save them from their sins. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why? Because Satan loves the power of the law. He loves to deceive you into thinking that you should come toward God, that you have kept the law perfect. The Messiah said out of his own mouth, this ain't the Apostle Paul. This ain't the false prophet that they claim him to be. This is your own Messiah who died and shed his blood where an animal sacrifice couldn't do, and brought in a new covenant, and this is the covenant. I'm going to repeat it to you in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting at verse 14 and going through verse 16. I want you to mark it in your Bible. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will write my laws into their heart, not into some work of stone, but into a heart that has been mellowed, a heart that has been softened, a heart that has been rendered and offered up to Yahweh with intense prayer. You know, if some of these people spend as much time as the apostles did on the day of Pentecost praying and seeking Yahweh in His Spirit inwardly, instead of trying to be boasters of the law that they keep them, the Bible says that the Messiah said Himself, I gave you the law and none of you kept it. I'm going to repeat that. I gave you the law and none of you were worthy to keep it. Heaven was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and the under the earth was searched, and no one was found acceptable under the law except the Messiah, who was crucified from the foundation of the very beginning of the own laws that He made. He suffered at the result of His own law. He came and was worthy. He died and was resurrected into a new covenant, and Paul is the revelator of that new covenant. Not even Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, was permitted to talk about these great mysteries of the Melchizedek priesthood. And ladies and gentlemen, you take the Apostle Paul away and you tear out his writings, you tore out the new covenant that was never in your heart to start with. If you've got his laws written in your heart, you're not going to belittle and insult and blaspheme a great man that revelated through the approach and the power of the Holy Ghost, spoken as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Peter said, many of the ignorant, and I'm going to repeat that with emphasis, ignorant and unlearned, wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own death and destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, again, those that fall into these evil hands or these evil minds and these silly women that run around sound like they are a preacher when they ought to keep their mouth shut and their ears open and set under authority. They despise government. They will not set under a preacher or a teacher. They want to find fault with everything but themselves. They trust in their own righteousness, despising the righteousness that Paul preached by the death of the Messiah. And this new covenant, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be idly cast aside by the unbelievers, because there are ministers that are set for the defense of the gospel. And I myself was chosen over 50 years ago to carry his word and to suffer and to preach and to love the poor people of our belief system. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? Never have I preached 1 hour for money. I do not preach for money. I despise even the filthy lucre that we have to use to advance the cause of the gospel. I despise it, but nevertheless it's necessary. Even the Messiah himself, he had a treasury. He had a gathering. He had people that gave offerings and tithes to support the gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, these people say they're under the law. They wouldn't go to a church anywhere. They're a law unto themselves. They don't have charity. They don't suffer long. They're not kind. They're blasphemers. They're accusers. They're divided and separated, always trying to toot their own trumpet and sound their own trumpet for trying to make a fair show in the flesh, justifying themselves in the flesh. And Paul said, you who desire to be under the law have failed from grace. I know that a lot of people believe that when he made that mention that he was against Yahweh's laws. He wasn't against Yahweh's laws. He was putting the laws into the heart through the righteous power of the Holy Ghost. And once you have tasted the power of the Holy Ghost and you've been filled with the Spirit, what's wrong with these people that are against the Apostle Paul? They do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like fell upon the day of Pentecost. Here, the apostles, every one of them, that stood in the 15th chapter. You go down exactly about the 14th chapters down, and you'll find the greatest controversial argument in the Bible was the argument between Peter and James and John, who were pillars in the church, agreeing and sympathizing and emphasizing with the people that came down, prophets. These were false prophets, not Paul. He stood for the truth of that whole 15 chapter. You say, I don't believe that. I'm just going to rip that out. I don't even believe that ever happened. Glory to God. Well, you go ahead and rip her out. You go ahead and just rip out all the New Testament that you'd like to. But there's coming a time when the new covenant will return. And if you're not in the fold of the new covenant, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you don't put in any faith in your self-righteousness, your righteousness by the law is like filthy rags. And if you didn't have a blood offering sacrifice to cover you from your sins, not only of yesterday, today and forever. It's an eternal blood offering. Never again will there be an animal sacrifice for your sins. You may kill the animals. You may eat the unclean animals and all the things that you do in denance. But let me assure you of one thing, ladies and gentlemen. There is a time coming when you will bow the knee and you'll give an account for every idle word that you speak. Even the hard sentences that were spoken against this great man, the Apostle Paul, who some deny that he was an apostle. He was the 13th apostle, representing the 13 tribes in the house of Israel. You say, well, there's not 13 tribes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you need a lesson in the biblical aspects of the truth. And you need to get out of the acts of Satan. For you yourself, the opposers of those that are good, while you you claim to be good, make yourself an enemy of the tree of the Messiah, which he hung upon for the sins of all of his children. None good, no, not one. And if the law saved you, I'm going to repeat this. This is the Apostle Paul's gospel. I'll stand on it till the day I die. If the law could save you, then I know a man that Paul said I know that was introduced to me like he was to Paul. I had my Damascus Road encounter with him. He struck me down. He put me in a cave. He brought me to the realization that I was a piece of dirt. Breathe in and become a living soul that would have to honor and humble and repent and get baptized in the same name that the Apostle Paul was baptized in. If you don't believe that the Apostle Paul was baptized, you need to read the 9th chapter of the book of Acts or the 26th chapter. Oh, you say, well, that's two different accounts, and you just discount all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, you go to the book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one has a different account. And you try to strive about with words and find fault just to back up your silly, ungodly accusations against the Apostle Paul. And no doubt you're going to blaspheme against the preachers that defend him. Well, I'm one that defends the gospel, not for Paul's sake, but for Christ, to whom I am a prisoner, as was Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, you got my message tonight, the acts of Satan. And beware even of those of the concision who depend and trust in their own righteousness. But again, if the law brought righteousness, then Christ died in vain. If you give up that message, if that message is removed from your heart, and you'll never hear them say this, faith without works is dead. But show me your works without faith or without the new covenant, and I'll show you my faith and the works that will follow. And if you believe Yahweh, and you know that you passed from death unto life, and you love your brother, you'll love the mighty Apostle Paul like I do tonight. If you have enjoyed our message tonight about Paul, give me a call. Just call Pastor Buddy. Tonight, I'm live around the world on WWRB. Call me. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to write me, I'm going to give you my address, and may Yahweh bless you and give you knowledge of this message that I preach to you tonight, and there's a reason I'm preaching it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of blasphemy going on within the circles of what people call Christian identity. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't be Christian identity and exclude some of those that were identified as Yahweh's saints. Well, Brother Blake is coming in here tonight. I'm sponsored tonight live by Dr. Gary and by Brother Paul. And I would like for you to call me personally tonight and tell me that you heard the message. And let me know what you think about it. If you disagree with me, you've got a right to do so. We're not preaching this by works alone. We're preaching it by faith. If you can't receive it by faith, you're not going to have any works. And that's for sure. So you can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now I'll be on tomorrow night on the late hour. If you'd like to stay up and catch us late tomorrow evening, 11 o'clock. Around the world on www. RB 3.185, and we're also simulcast live on the internet. You can go simply to WWRB Radio. Click on, when it opens up, click on Listen Live, and click on Galaxy One, and for our schedules on WWRB 3.185. We love you tonight. We appreciate you. And we are thankful to be in your homes, or in your automobiles, or wherever that you may be listening to us. You may be in a jailhouse, or Paul wasn't too good to go to jail for preaching Yahweh. That night an earthquake came. I hope tonight that my message has created an earthquake in your mind to turn you toward Yahweh in the new covenant. If you desire to be under the law, you fell from grace. By grace are you saved.